Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. This is Phoenix, the urban sexologist, and we are talking sex and politics today on Let's Talk About Sex. I have Mr. Rahman Muhammad, personal friend, political activist, community leader, deputy mayor. And I'm very happy to get you to participate in this kind of show, being with the climate that we got going on. What's your take, being that you're in politics and all of these young ladies are coming out with, you know, allegations?
I think it's a good thing, especially when you hear some of the craziness these folks doing, like pulling their penises out and jerking off in front of women who aren't participating. I mean, that's a little kind of strange to me. Some of these folks seem like they need a psychiatrist. I think that some of it's being overblown. I'm sorry. I think the Al Franken thing with the young lady, where, first of all, his hands wasn't even on her breast. And when you're a comedian, people make that all types of jokes. And guess what? Men get sexually harassed by women, too, by the way.
Are you telling us that it's possibility that you might have been in that category?
Listen, I wear suits to work and people complain about what there are women that make comments about, you know what I'm saying, my print and my suits all the time, right? But I don't take it as sexual harassment. I mean, I just think that, you know, some of the stuff is a little bit too touchy-feely.
Too touchy feely. I can relate to that. Yeah. I worked in a work environment where a lot of it was touchy feely, but more importantly, it was a lot of verbal joust going back and forth about body parts and sexual positions and things of this nature, which made me feel very uncomfortable. And I felt alone at the time because people saw it and nothing was going on. And with the climate today, if you saw a situation like that, like what would you do in a situation like that?
I mean, with the climate today, if you Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On would be considered sexual harassment. I mean,
oh, no. No, you didn't.
Have you heard the lyrics of Let's Get It On? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
And so if you go by the climate today, I mean, that would be considered sexual harassment. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Some of it, like I said, if a man pulls his penis out and in front of you and just start masturbating in front of you or grabbing on your private parts, without just saying, then you're absolutely correct. That is a different conversation. But, you know, I don't, you know, I think it's a little crazy when I see about, I see people in my business, they joust all the time, back and forth, making comments, joking, you know what I'm saying, with one another. Girls talk just as much as men. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you'd be surprised at some of the stuff women say about men.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. So, but I think that people would be more careful now.
Well, I mean, I think they all should be more careful. Like I said, you got to be careful about some of the things you say around folks. And listen, I know from now on, I'm going to be careful about the pictures I take. Make sure that my hands are visible.
That was my next question. My next question was, in this climate, you know, people might misconstrue certain things that are probably innocent. And with this climate, things are you doing to change so you can be politically correct?
Hey, I just told you. I mean, listen, when I take a picture, I'm going to make sure both my hands is visible. It's gonna be like a stiff picture. You know?
Wait a minute, that's Black Lives Matter, not politics.
They're gonna be like, that's an awkward picture. I'll be sitting there like a robot.
You being extra. You have a young lady, you have a daughter, and you know some of the things that you see going on, I'm sure you are much aware of, you know, the effects of it, because now as a father, you probably look at things differently.
I think that there's no question when you have daughters that you view things a whole lot differently. As I said, I think that some of it, though, I think at some point, though, we're going to, it's almost like it's going to get played out for every person who, you know, calls and make a claim and say, oh, he grabbed my butt when we took a photo, or he grabbed. I mean, you know, there are many times I've hugged, like, you know, in politics, there are many times, like, when you hug or you won't go to kiss somebody or whatever, you may kiss them in the wrong place by accident, or you may have grabbed them when you're trying to hug them and give them, or they might have done the same thing. I mean, I just think about those times. And there are times when that has happened to me that I've actually thought about it afterwards and say, oh, wow, maybe, you know what I'm saying, that was kind of awkward, you know what I'm saying? But it's something that wasn't intentional. It just happened at the, you know what I'm saying, at the moment, you know what I'm saying, and no fault of neither party, to be honest with you. But when you think about it, like, I can imagine somebody coming and saying, oh, such and such kissed me on my lips when I didn't intend to kiss you. You just so happened that I was kissing you on your cheek and you turned your face.
Oh, that's true. Well, let me ask you this. What about now? This was a while ago. There was a gentleman who was in sports, though. He was in sports, and it can happen in politics. He had a fetish. He had a foot fetish. And I guess someone uncovered that he had a foot fetish and made a big deal out of it. But he was with his wife, but it was kind of kinky. So, you know, be it you're in politics, you're a man, you're a married man. You know, do you feel like somebody might try to explore if they might have, you know, seen you in an awkward position, you know, saying that it was something inappropriate or something that might have been, like, unethical?
I would hope that I've shared all my kinkiness with my wife. I married my wife because I thought I revealed everything that I would love to have done. You know, I would hope I haven't learned any new kinkiness. So
you feel like you've covered it all, and you've covered it all.
I think I've covered it all. At least I've said to her what I like. I don't know if we've done it all. I think I've you know what I'm saying, at least admitted to her, you know what I'm saying, things I like. So I wouldn't be surprised if someone came and said, oh, you know, he likes such and such. I don't know if she's shocked by that. You know what I'm saying? I'm usually an open book on that part of my life. Especially
okay. Would you look at somebody in your office or somebody you work with if you found out that they had some type of kinky, you know, extra thing that they do, extracurricular activities they do? Would you, you know, look at them differently?
No, no. I mean, I'm sexually liberated, so, you know, I'm not surprised about sex. That's not, you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
I'm not,
so
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I would.
But being that you're
liberated
and somebody might be extremely conservative, you might offend them with your, you know what I'm saying, with your openness.
But I wouldn't tell them that. I don't, you know, the difference with me when it comes to work, as far as my work environment, I've never, you know what I'm saying, like I'm very fun in my work environment, but when it comes down to those type of things, I try to stray away. But listen, there isn't like there aren't. There isn't like there haven't been comments made or people come back to me and said things like, oh, you know, such and such said, oh, such and such said this, oh, such and such. So, I mean, you know, you do have to be mindful for that. I mean, there are some friends who are close friends that, you know, y'all joke back and forth with, you know what I'm saying? But beyond that, I got to be honest with you, in the work environment with me, one of the things I've always kept tight lid on was that I didn't want to crap where I ate at.
True.
When it comes to that, you know what I'm saying? I think I should tell people all the time the safest place for women is my assistant in office. Because, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just a no-no, you know what I'm saying, when that comes down to that for me.
To that. Well, I have heard, and this is just me, that, you know, certain offices, you know, in Newark have a lot of philandering as far as like work husbands, work wives. I've heard, you know, rumors that certain things were going on. Would you allow that in your office? I mean, you can't control it, but if you see something getting out of hand, you would say something.
I mean, I think if I saw it disrespectful, I would say something. I mean, you hear all types of rumors, but those, you know, those rumors have been going around for years. I mean, I can name you the work husbands and work wives throughout the years of my career, rather it was in labor or rather it's in government. So, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, I would, if it was disrespectful, I would say something. If I thought there was some unwantingness, I've been in many environments where friends of mine have probably done some things or tried to do some things to, like, female acquaintance of mine where I said, nah, bro, you got to stop. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I've done that on a couple occasions. I mean, to some real close friends of mine, where I said, nah, you can't do that. So, I mean, you know, because, I've always been one of the ones. I don't think a man has to force himself on a woman. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
I've always been on the belief. I've always been in that belief that, you know what I'm saying, it's disgusting to me of any man who thinks he has to force himself on a woman. If she doesn't feel you, if she's not responding to your advances, I think it's time for you to back off. Sometimes when I see, because I think some men take it when a woman, some men really believe that when a woman say no, it means yes. And in some cases, that might be a case. Right, that may be true. I mean, I remember.
Really?
I think so. Listen, I remember first when I was a business agent for the union. My boss, you know, he called me. He did a speech. He didn't practice what he preached, but you know, he gave me the speech about women that would set you up. You got to be careful. All of this stuff. And I remember a young lady who I was seeing at the time, and. You know, she said I wasn't aggressive enough. I didn't understand what she was saying. You know what I'm saying? And I had made a statement like, I'm not trying to rape you or anything. You know, but her thing for aggressive, she wanted you to take it from her. And, you know, I felt like that was entrapment for me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you felt like she was trying to entrap you because, oh, okay.
Right. I mean, I thought about what my boss said. You know what I'm saying? I thought about what he told me, right? He said, you know, you got to be careful. Women will try to entrap you. People will set you up. That, you know what I'm saying? So it was funny when she said that, and she was saying, I wasn't aggressive enough. I didn't understand what she was saying. And when she explained herself, I was like, well, I'm not trying to rape you or anything. So I don't understand what this is about. So I don't, you know, so I, you know, to me, there are some who probably like that, the aggressiveness, I would say, in a man. But then there are a lot of women who don't like it. And so to me, I never really wanted to take the chances on it, to be honest with you.
Okay. With this current climate, do you feel like, you know, you know a lot of people in politics and with the atmosphere, do you feel like sexually is stifling? Like if you wanted to get loose, you have so much to worry about that you can't really be comfortable in your skin because, you know, it could be a setup. It could be, you know, do you, how do you handle stuff like that?
Well, I'm mad. It was easy for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, ain't too much I can do.
Not you per se, but you in the climate and you see, you know, other people who might be new coming up, not really as an expert like you. You've had many years in this. You've seen the whole business of politics change so much. But now, you know, it's just like with our young people coming up. We didn't have computers, you know, we didn't have cell phones. So it's a whole different ball game for them, just like in politics with all this new stuff. It's a whole different ball game. Like, what would you say to someone new coming up in politics, what they should do in reference to, you know, you guys go to those meetings and you go to D.C. and you party here and you might have a little drink here. And then next thing you know, you gotta work. Your work wife is there. Your work husband is there. And then, you know, how do you handle that? Yeah, I know you're the boss. Maybe you can give advice.
I'll be honest. I don't, like I said, unless I see some stuff getting out of hand, if I see a female who is really not being accepting of someone's advances, or you know, I would step in, you know, and I would try to tell anybody that I think that you know, you in a position that you have to be careful about how people view you. First impression means a lot in this business, especially when it comes to women and respecting women in the workplace. And so to me, you know. And then the deal is that, you know, a lot of these kids ain't married now. And so a lot of them, they think because they're single, they can do anything. The problem with that, though, is pretty much, like I said, what my mentor said to me, you can get a reputation as being a serious person, or you're going to get a reputation as being a playboy. I don't know in this business if you want that reputation as being a playboy.
No.
Because then people are not going to take you serious. So I would rather in this business, one of the things that I've always been conscious of is I've always wanted to, like, there are people that, listen, there are rumors out there about me. People put all, I can guarantee you none of the rumors that people say about me with other people are true. You know what I'm saying? But they put things because if they see you talking to a woman or somebody else or hanging out or having drinks or laughing, you know, they think that you're doing something. Automatically, that's an assumption that you're doing something. You know, some of the stuff is made up because they don't think men can have female friends. Well, I got a lot of female friends. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think most men can have female friends and not be intimate?
I don't know.
Answer this one.
Yeah. I think that I've had and still have female friends that I haven't been intimate with. Do I think there are a lot of my friends who will say to you they can't just be somebody's friend without being intimate. You know what I'm saying? So I don't, you know, but for me, I find it easy. I think that once you get into that friend zone, you know what I'm saying? It's cool. It's cool to have female friends of the opposite sex. You can talk to them better. So, you know,
get an insight of what women are thinking.
Yeah, well, it's not just that. I think that when you have female friends, I think women can be more honest with you in a conversation, especially a female friend. I think their honesty is much, because they don't see competition. Like, when it comes to men, like, I got male friends, but I don't care how cool you is with a male, like, even your best friend, there's still some sort of competition between y'all. Now, what that is, you know what I'm saying, depends on the friendship. But when you're dealing with a female, there's no competition between me and that female. because we don't,
exactly.
we're not going for the same thing. You understand what I'm trying to say? And
I
so
understand.
There's no competition here. So her honesty to me is much more open than my man, because like I said, we in competition and some form of our friendship, there's some competition within that friendship that me and him has. Whereas though with the a female, I don't have that same competition. There's no, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to impress on anything to make her, for me to feel like I'm better than her or my game is better than her or, you know what I'm saying, my look is better than her. You understand what I'm trying to say? So there's not a competition. Right. So our competition,
yeah.
so because of that lack of competition, I just think that our conversation can be much more truthful and much more open, and she can give me how she feel, and without me taking it personal or think that maybe there's an underlying agenda on why she's saying this or feel this way about me.
Okay.
I mean, that's just the way I feel about this.
No, I agree with you on that. Most of my friends are males, and more importantly, I have a better connection with them than I do with females. And, you know, I think that will go across the board. You know, you're a Leo, I'm a Leo. You know how that goes. We like, you know, to be surrounded by our friends and our people. And it just so happens that most of them are guys. I can relate to them better. So I can relate to what you're saying. I have a question for you. With all of this, you know, sexual harassment stuff going on, have you ever had a situation where you were at work and you had a stalker situation where it was someone who was attracted to you and you definitely weren't attracted to them, especially because it was a workplace environment and you're married and, you know, maybe this person is a higher up or maybe this person is not, but how did you, you know, handle that? I had a situation like that at my job where my job didn't believe that I was only friends with this person because, you know, they were interested and I wasn't. So it was difficult. And, you know, with your position, that could be tricky.
Yeah, I've not had that. But, I mean, based on what you know about my personality is strong, so. There's no, you know, I don't know if, you know, there's never been a situation where someone has tried to overpower me in opposite sex on, rather they like me, you know what I'm saying, or, you know what I'm saying, or not, you know what I'm saying. So, no, I've really never had that, those kinds
never
of
had
things.
That? I'm surprised. You're not a, nah, you're attractive young man.
Yeah, but I've never
and you,
had
and you are,
I,
you
I
know,
wanna,
political means. You got the women that chase the political guy.
Well, I mean, you know, in politics and you know, a lot of this, I'm a Mason. I mean, you know what I'm saying? In politics, even in fraternities, I mean, you have you know, before I was married, you had we used to call them fans, you know what I'm saying, groupies. You know what I'm saying? But not to the point where it's stalking. You know what I'm saying? Not to the point where it's stalking. But like I said, I got a strong personality, so I don't think my personality lends to someone being that aggressive with me without them getting bit back. I mean, you absolutely right. I'm a lion. You know, I got a big roar. So
yeah,
you know, I don't think that, you know, I don't think.
But you might,
Matt,
you can meet a lion too. You can meet some. I met women in politics that were very forceful. Just people in general. I think that being that I traveled a lot and I've been a lot of different places, certain places have dynamics. Like you go to Brooklyn and you meet a person from Brooklyn, they have their own dynamics and the way they move, you know, if they're interested in someone, they could be aggressive. And I think Newark is the same way. Men in Newark can be aggressive. And females in Newark
yeah,
can definitely be aggressive.
Yeah, I just never had it done to me. I don't, you know, the worst relationship I've had in the city of Newark was my son's mother.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I put a restraining order on that broad, but that's a different conversation. you know what I'm saying? So I've never really had a situation where a female, you know, I'm a nice guy, though. So, you know, people don't generally have those, you know, crazy feelings about me. You know, I've had
okay.
people leave notes. I've had people leave notes. I've had, You know what I'm saying? People
secret admirers.
Yeah, I mean, you have stuff like I have people go to their girlfriends, say things. Heck, you know what I'm saying? I mean, hell, I had somebody in my younger years that asked their girlfriend to take them to my house and waiting for me until I got home. I mean, you know, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could call that stalking. But
stalking.
You know, I've never had no real issue with. You know what I'm saying? A female, you know, trying to force themselves on me, you know, in that manner.
Okay. Well, I am going to take a little break. And when I come back, if you have any questions out there for Mr. Muhammad, please feel free to ask me some questions. You can ask me on Instagram. You can ask me on Facebook. I'll make sure he's ready when we come back from these. This song, we're going to be playing a local favorite, Queen Latifah, Unity. So I'm going to say, who you calling the bitch?
Hello?
Who you calling the bitch?
We gotta let them know.
I hear a brother call a girl a bitch or a hoe, trying to make a sister feel low. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring crap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cutoff shorts on right, cause it was crazy. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. Yeah. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes. Said,
who you calling the bitch?
U-N-I-T-Y. I guess I felt so deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had. And I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't wanna see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man don't really love you if he hits you. Yeah. This is my notice of the tool, I'm not taking it no more. I'm not your personal whore, that's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing good gon' come to you till you do right by me. Brother, you waiting.
Who you calling the bitch?
Hello. Hi, we are back. This is Phoenix, the urban sexologist. And this week we are talking about sex and politics. We have Mr. Rahman Muhammad, who's the deputy mayor of Newark, New Jersey. And we are, this session, I think we should get a little bit more personal. Maybe I jumped the gun and jumped right in, but I would like to talk a little bit more in depth about maybe some things that are personal as far as, you know, your career, Mr. Muhammad, and as a married man, you know, how difficult or maybe easy it might be, you know, being in the political arena and still maintaining yourself, you know, as a man, a married man at that. The question I have is, you know, with long hours, out of town, you know, all these women around you, how is that on your marriage? You know, like, relationships are already tough enough with just basic things like working and kids, but how is it on your marriage to have, you know, all of this responsibility?
You want to hear something funny, Phoenix? You'll probably be surprised, but my wife is actually much more busier in this relationship than I am. Her career has a more out of town and more at meetings. She's in the Army, and she's the vice president of her company, and so she travels a lot in addition, and she puts in long hours at her job. As a matter of fact, it may be a shock to you that I'm actually home quicker than she is most of the time.
Wow.
Because we have a young child. Yeah, we have a young child that's at the house, and I've taken the responsibility to make sure that I'm home in time enough for us to be able to have her to have some guardianship in the house.
Okay.
Because we both, you know, my job gives me a little bit more leeway. You know, I pretty much, you know, unless it's something that the mayor is, you know, requesting me to attend or be a part of, it gives me a little bit more leeway to take the opportunity of saying, you know what, I need to go home now. Well, you know what I'm saying, where in the past when I was a labor leader or, you know what I'm saying, you know, I had to be at certain places or do certain things because I needed information or I had to just be around certain people to have conversation with or you know what I'm saying, my boss used to say it all the time, most negotiations happen at the bar. Because I used to negotiate my contract. You know what I'm saying? I would have to make sure that I was in the places where those individuals were, just so that I could be relevant and accounted for in that job. You know what I'm saying? You know, what they say, out of sight, out of mind. Because I'm no longer the principal leadership role. The mayor is the principal leadership. I'm his deputy mayor. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it allows me support
team.
More free to come. I'm sorry?
I said like support, your support. Yeah, I said
yeah,
you're
right,
like his support.
Yeah, I'm more, right. I'm more support for the mayor, right. So it's a little bit more easier for me because I don't have any ambition to be an elected official or anything like that. So it gives me a little bit more leeway to spend a little bit more time home. You know what I'm saying, to put guardianship with my daughter because she's only 10 years old and you don't want her in this house too long by herself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so one of us got to be home. So I'm the parent that generally comes home. But, you know, if it's a situation where I have to be somewhere or have to do something, then I'll call my wife up and say, listen, you know, I need to be here. You need to make sure that you're there, you know what I'm saying, with our child. So, I mean, you know, I think the busyness of our careers and our lives probably keep the marriage interesting, to be honest with you. Like you said, we Leo.
Okay.
So, you know how Leo.
Your
Leo's
wife is a Leo too?
My wife's a Leo too, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So, I mean, I know, man. Oh, God. That's a lot of stubbornness for one marriage, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot.
that's
your daughter's not a Leo. She's not. Oh, my goodness. I said your daughter's not a Leo.
Yeah.
I hope not.
No, she's a Cancer.
Okay, so, some relief. Well, which is, being that your daughter is 10 years old, which is actually puberty age, and, you know, with all of these, internet is so sexual, and do you monitor her movement online?
Well, you know what?
Or does she have access?
I gotta be honest with you. I'm starting to do it more, Phoenix. She does spend a lot of time online, especially because she's in the mm-hmm. house by herself a lot, and she doesn't have her older siblings here with her to play with. So she spends a lot of time online keeping herself busy. So I find myself more now checking her computer, finding out who, what she's looking at. She's into that, what is that, Howard Kukio, what they call that Japanese stuff?
Okay.
Where they dress funny.
Yeah.
She's still
like a little girl.
Right. She's still
you and your wife decided when you're going to have the...
I can't hear you, fans.
I'm sorry. Hello? I say, have you and your wife decided when you're going to have the talk?
No, I haven't.
She is 10 years old. They say puberty starts at 10. 8, 10.
Yeah, I know, but I haven't.
You're not ready.
It wasn't until I took her to the doctor for her checkup that I realized it may be time because, you know what I'm saying, the doctor gave her the option to tell, you know, usually I'm in the room with her when she's getting a checkup, and this time when I took her, the doctor told me I had to leave the room, so that wasn't that was a little surprising to me, because you know what I'm saying? They had to have that female conversation, and I told her mother, I guess you're gonna have to take her to the doctor from now on because it's a little awkward now for me taking her to the doctor, but you know they and I haven't made the decision on that. I figure probably within the next year or two, we will have to have this conversation, you know what I'm saying, about what's going on out here in the world. But it's not something I'm looking forward to.
How old was your son when you had that talk, your older son?
Oh, man, please. My sons is, please. I think they life gave them the talk. I don't think I ever gave them to a talk. I think life gave them a conversation. It had nothing to do with their father.
Yeah. You can't give the talk to the girl and then not give the talk to the boys.
Well, the boys is too late. The boys got kids. I'm on my third grandchild, so.
Oh, Lord, I didn't know that. Pop.
Yeah, the boy's too late. The boys ain't boys no more. One boy is almost 30, and the other one is 22.
You have a
December 24th.
Well, how old is your son when you were 12? The hell?
Nah, you know, I had. You got to remember, I'll be 50 next year.
You old man ass.
Yeah, man, I'll be getting my AARP card next year.
There's nothing wrong with that. Somebody need to borrow that. Somebody need to borrow that car.
I'll be applying for my senior discount next year. I'll be able to go in the movies for $12.50 next year.
and your guests?
Yeah, and your guests, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Get the senior
rate. Well, make sure. You and your wife definitely sit down and have a talk, because not making any difference between girls and boys, but I feel like girls have the burden of carrying children, so they definitely have to have the talk.
Oh, yeah,
unless
yeah. No question.
Raising grandkids. Would that be the case? No, but are they in the
Sorry?
House with you? Your grandkids?
No, my grandkids not in the house with me. They live with their mothers.
Okay.
So they not in my youngest son. You know, he has another one on the way. So, you know, there's You know, he's, this will be his second one.
A grandfather. I mean, it's not premature, but, you know, being a grandfather, that's a whole nother level.
Hey, man, I love my grandkids. So I don't, you know, listen, I don't, you know, as much as I would love God to give me a lot of years on this earth, you know, I don't know how long I got left. So to see your grandkids before you go is okay for me.
Okay. That's cool. Well, even though you are a grandpa, you are still sexually active. I'm hoping that you do the Obama thing and have date night, being that you guys are jet setters and on the go. Is that a thing? Because you still fresh.
We haven't had one in a minute, so don't remind her, please, because she would be upset.
I mean, the holidays.
You want to hear something funny? We used to have them regularly until Fire Stick came about.
Fire Stick? What do Fire Sticks have to do with it?
You know, because all the movies come on Fire Stick now.
So
on,
you
on,
don't
on
go
yet? You don't have a Fire Stick.
I'm a choke.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not. I'm a big time movie watcher, but I still like to go out and eat the popcorn. It's about expensive popcorn, and you know, I'm a big fan of the dine in theater. I go there and eat, and I don't even care about the movie. I just like the experience.
Yeah, I know. We used to do that myself quite often. But,
dinner. You got to get out.
Yeah, no question. You definitely got to start date night back up.
Start date. I'm cheering you. Start date night, because you guys can't, you know what I'm saying? You know how some people, they get used to that mundane every day, and next thing you know, they wake up and they're having sex with the laundry in the corner, and, you know, in the middle of sex, and they're changing the laundry and doing all this other domesticated stuff, which takes the thrill out of it. It gets boring like that.
And you know us Leos, get bored real quick.
Real quick. Look, I like to keep it fresh. I get bored real quick, and I need some entertainment. To entertain. Are you easy to entertain?
I'm sorry?
I said, are you easy to entertain?
I'm easy to entertain. My wife's easy to entertain, too. So, I mean, it's not, you know, it's just that. You know, I got to be honest with you. We used to, on a regular, go at least once a week and go out. It just haven't been done in a minute. I don't, you know, a big part of it, too, is what I told you, is that at one point in time, though, too, we had somebody here with our daughter. Her sister was here with her. And,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? But she's away at college. So it's easier it's easier when, you know, the older sibling is here. You know, she could be with her sister. When that's not the case, you got to get a babysitter every time you go someplace, and that's just not as easy as you think. You know, I don't trust. One of the things I don't do because of the climate is trust my child with everybody or in anybody's house. You know what I'm saying? Because I know too many horror stories about that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of
that. Yeah. So I, you know, you got to be careful who you leave with your child with, and it's not even so much of you leaving your child with. I mean, you take somebody, you could trust the person, and then it'd be somebody else at the house. You know what I'm saying, causing a problem. So you know, you don't want.
Exactly.
You know, you just got to be careful of that. So it was easier. It was much easier to have those date nights when, you know, her sister was here with her. Before she went to college, but as soon as she went to college, you know, it kind of fell off, you know what I'm saying? So
what kind of date night, what does a date night consist of? Like, what is your date night?
We generally, you know what I'm saying, we used to go to either, like you say, the dining theater, dinner, or we used to do karaoke. Mm-hmm. My wife likes to take karaoke. So,
okay.
You know what I'm saying, we used to do karaoke every, you know what I'm saying, Friday. Or, you know, we would go to movies, a movie you want to see, go to the dining theater, or, you know, go to a restaurant that she liked. So those were generally the three things, you know what I'm saying, that we generally used to do, one or the other, you know what I'm saying?
We got two Leos. Ain't no romantic one in there. Who's romantic in there?
I'm sorry?
So you got two Leos. Who's the romantic?
Oh, I think we both are when it comes to that.
Okay.
I think she romance her more. But I think when it comes to it, both of us have that romance part.
Yeah, because that keeps the relationship fresh. I think a lot of people lose the romance and then you lose the relationship because really, what are you doing at that point? That's cool.
I mean, you know, me and my wife explore. You know, we got the latest toys.
Oh, you're a toy person. I wouldn't take you.
I love toys, man. I love certain toys. You know, I got a toy that you can work from the app. You got an app that you work from.
Oh, you got
app.
An app. Oh, well, I know which one you're talking about. Well, so what, would you buy the toy? Would you buy the toy for her? Or you would buy the toy? I mean, she would buy the toy?
I'm definitely the toy dude. I'm definitely the toy dude.
Okay.
I got the latest.
You got the latest? What are you looking for?
I just got an update on my app. I just downloaded the update yesterday.
What the heck type of app? What is that? Music? What is it? It's a buzzy thing.
They got a toy with an app. They got a toy that you work from an app.
Well, I seen one toy, and the toy was an insertion. The woman would insert the
and you
were, to
and
it.
You were, and you work it from the app.
Exactly. That's what you're talking about? I think that would be a stretch. If I'm somewhere else and he's activating the app and I'm zinging and zooping at work, I can't even imagine that. Okay, so...
It works over the internet. It's called WeVibe. You can put music.
WeVibe. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do some investigation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that considered a dildo? What is that?
It's an app, like you said. It's an insertion.
They do have a Candy has so much choices now, and on her, I was looking on her page, and it's just so much. What do you think about the guys buying the sex dolls?
Yeah, I'm not understanding what they get out of that one. That doesn't even make sense.
He said, "Don't make sense."
That one's not making sense.
Crowding, so they created the sex dolls so they wouldn't reproduce as much, and definitely, you know, not risk having a girl, which was my frowned on. So now they're not balanced. They have too many men and not enough women, so they resorting to these sex dolls as a resort. But a lot of Americans are
buying. I can't get with that one. I'm sorry. I can't support that one. Now the toys, I'm down with the toys.
Okay.
We definitely down with
that. What about negligee? Are you a 90 guy?
Yeah, I'm definitely a 90 guy. You know what I'm saying? Definitely that.
But what
are you definitely
into those long gowns or into those short little 90s?
No, I like the short 90s. You know what I'm saying? I like the short 90s.
Well, I'm thinking like something long with like a split, like some type of Victoria's Secret silky thingy.
Yeah, it depends. But you know, my wife's short, so it's better to short. You know
short.
What I'm saying? The long is more. Yeah,
her being
short. So it's better. I'm sorry?
I don't remember her being short. I can hear you.
Yeah, she's short. She's my wife's short, so she a long gown wouldn't really look right. That would be more for taller women.
Okay, so that means she's wearing heels.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you have a foot fetish.
Yeah,
I'm not mad at the foot fetish. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know about a foot fetish. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not really that keen on foot fetish. Not really. I mean, but I like feet and shoes. If that's what you're asking.
No, I'm just saying some men like to see. woman in some sexy heels, like, that does it for them. I'm short, too, so I don't like, you see me, I'm always in heels. If I'm wearing sneakers or flats, I feel deflated. I need height. I need to be with, you know, the rest of the gods, because, you know, Leo, I need to be tall.
I'm definitely big on feet and heels. I love me some heels.
Okay.
But I know actually like feet though, bare feet. You know what I'm saying? No, I know men that just like bare feet. Like, that's crazy right now.
I don't like bare feet. I don't think the bottom of a foot is and you know me from my back in the days when I ran the club. If a girl would take off her shoes on the stage, that would make me pull my hair out. I can't handle that. You have to wear heels as a woman. I just feel like the bottom of a foot is not attractive. Maybe if that's your fetish, you might, you know, like that. But just to look at the bottom of a foot, I don't get it.
Most men. Hello? I think most men like, they go to the club for to see you in the heels. If you take off the shoes, you're defeating the purpose.
Yeah, you defeat the purpose, exactly. You take the sexy, that's the first layer of sexiness if you're going to try to be sexy. What else is sexy to you? Are you a type of person that like to see a woman in, like, specialty bras and...
Oh, no
you like
question.
To see
you definitely...
Things.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's no question about
into,
that.
Like, the slutty look, like, some you have the different, the guys that want the woman to look really pretty and pristine, and then you have the guys, and you know, this is a hood thing, they like to see the guy, the girls in the ripped up stockings, and they're looking like she just came off the track or something like that. That's their thing, like, looking slutty.
Yeah, I ain't into that part. I don't know what that's about, you know.
You don't like
but
Letitia,
you know, it depends. Who is it?
Letitia.
Who's Letitia?
Letitia. You know Letitia from around the block.
Nah, I'm not into the whole ripped up stockings. I'm not into that. That part, I don't know what that is. You know what I'm saying? Make it look cute. That's what I like.
Make it look cute.
You know?
Is she going to sleep with makeup on? No.
No, my... You know, I'm not a big makeup person.
I'm more
natural.
You want natural?
I'm more natural. I've never really been into the makeup thing. You know what I'm saying? I guess it's you know, it comes from people hugging me and putting all that makeup on your clothes and I'm saying I'm just not in. You know what I mean,
in my business, man,
you run across. You know, you people give you a hug, you pull your shirt back, God forbid, you got a white shirt. You know, it's a whole slew of makeup all over your clothes, right? I'm just not big into that stuff.
Oh, that's funny. I never thought of it that way, but I'll make sure that next time I see you, I just give you a little quick pat on the back. I won't, you know, interrupt the white shirt thing.
But
I got you.
But you don't wear a lot of makeup. But you don't wear a lot of makeup.
I really don't. People think that I do because my skin is one tone. They think that's makeup. It's really not. I do my little eyelashes, and I don't get into all of that.
When I talk about makeup, I'm talking about women who damn near put a mask on their face.
No. I'm not doing all that. Because that clogs your pores up. I don't want to do that. On top of the fact that, like what you said, if you're trying to be intimate with somebody, you have all that stuff on, you're going to mess up the sheets, and then you're going to be embarrassed afterwards when you got all this mess. You know, I don't have... That's not cool. But I am doing the red lips. Are you a red lip guy?
I mean,
you like red?
That's not bad. I'm more of... You know what? I'm more that, like, that natural lip. I like that natural lip better than, like, the bright red.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Like
the more natural one. But, I mean, that lipstick and, like, blush is not a problem. It's, like, these women that I see, like, got this cake. And then it'd be these chocolate pretty women, too. I'd be like, I don't understand. Why are y'all covering up all that beauty with all of that makeup? Like, I don't get it. I mean, it's almost like they just put a new mask on their face when they wake up. And like, I just don't understand it. I don't get it. It's like they're covering up all their beauty.
What would you say if your daughter would want, I don't know, you wouldn't allow, but if she would want to do that, would you tell her, like, this is not what men want? Or what would your approach be with that? We're make it short, because we know, I know you're long-winded. We only got, like, 2 minutes, but I want to hear this.
I would hope that she would maintain the beauty that she has. I don't think she needs makeup, so. I hope she's not trying to press no little knucklehead putting a bunch of makeup on, because she sure enough don't have to use it.
She sure don't. She's very attractive. She looks like both of y'all, actually. I was looking at it. She looks like both of y'all. And I'm sure that, you know what I'm saying, being around you and listening to you and her mother, you know, that's definitely going to help her go in the right direction. And she's probably very self-confident. Her self-confidence is probably through the roof.
Yeah, I would. I hope her self-confidence is through the roof, because too many of these girls I see with low self-esteem that, you know what I'm saying, they don't need it. So I will hope that her confidence is through the roof.
Yeah, I think so. You know, with two powerful parents, that's, you know, on point. And I know you on point. I know you have the conversations with her. You explain a lot of things to her. And, you know, growing up, seeing her brothers and her aunt who just went off to college, you know, when you're younger and you get to see everybody else, you get to learn the lessons that they couldn't learn, or they had to experience on their own. So I'm sure that she has a lot of help. But then, you know, like I was saying, growing up nowadays is so difficult. You know, none of the stuff is the same as when we were growing up. So complicated with all these different layers. But I'm sure you guys are going to do an excellent job with your daughter. I want to thank you for the time. I appreciate your candidness and being able to talk about sex. I know in this political climate it's so taboo, and you've been so gracious, you know, and with your time, because I know this is your daughter, daddy-daughter time, and it's Sunday. It's relaxed time before you get back into the fray, so I really appreciate it. I wanted to say, anyone who has any further questions, you want to have a meeting, you want to talk to Mr. Muhammad, if you have any suggestions. He is, his office is located at the city of Newark. You can reach out to him. I'm sure his email is listed on the city website. If you have any professional questions, you might want to know. Newark, I appreciate your time, and thank you for being a part of Let's Talk About Sex. And I am Phoenix, the urban sexologist. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, Prince Boy.
Bye.